Hello. Thank you for being here today. My name is Jake Metcalf. I'm Executive Director of the Alaska State Employees Association, AFSCME Local 52. ASEA represents 8,000 public employees working for the state of Alaska, the Fairbanks North Star Borough, and the city and borough of Sitka. Our members love their jobs. They show up every day to serve Alaska. About half of ASEA members are considered essential employees. These essential employees include police dispatchers, wildland firefighters, public health nurses, adult probation and parole officers, juvenile justice officers, child protective service specialists, and public assistance eligibility technicians. If not fighting the COVID-19 pandemic itself, these folks occupy the front lines at the intersection of essential services and vulnerable, needy, and in some cases, captive groups of Alaskans. You'll hear shortly from three ASEA members with essential duties. Representative Chuck Kopp and Senator L.B. Gray Jackson will also join us for discussion. Our state and country have suffered a huge health care and economic shock. Essential employees work day and night to keep us out of the hospital and safe from infection. Alaska workers and businesses are also dealing with shutdowns and record unemployment. Our state revenue and consumer spending has evaporated. Alaska needs help. Tourism this year was a non-starter. Oil production has faltered, and the commercial fishing season remains uncertain. This means that Alaska, along with local communities and tribal governments, face revenue shortages, employee layoffs, and the elimination of essential services unless we get federal help. We need federal help now and risk an extended health care and economic crisis. ASEA AFSCME Local 52 calls on the U.S. Senate to fund our front lines now. The Senate has a vital duty to ease and reduce injury to working families in this country by passing at least $700 billion in aid for state and local governments. That number might cause some to hesitate, but the cost of an inaction marked by extended unemployment, need for individual aid, and calls for direct economic assistance will be much greater. The Senate's work is essential, and like essential workers, they need to show up, do their job, and assist Alaska and the country to restore public health and economic stability. Our state, local communities, and tribes need help now. We can't get that help if the Senate, we can get that help if the Senate passes the HEROES Act. Not later, but now. If the Senate doesn't act soon, Alaska will suffer serious health and economic problems that only an active Congress can avoid. To hear more about what's happening on our front lines, I'd like to turn it over to one of the nurses at the Alaska Pioneer Home in Sitka, Kelly Ferguson.
Hello, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear you, Kelly?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. Appreciate your time. I'm going to make it very brief because I know your time is valuable like mine is. I've been working at the Sitka Pioneer Home for 26 plus years. I absolutely love my job, and I feel great privilege taking care of all these wonderful elders that I do. And so my point is brief. I would like to support and pass the HEROES Act and fund maybe how to pay for frontline workers, because of the dedication and the fact that they're continually put at risk, not only physically, but psychologically as well. I would also like to stress that I'd like consistent, testing to go on and tracing to go on, as well as consistent education and supplies of PPEs. Also just the recognition that employees in the front line deserve any support they can get and to be valued as well. I guess for me, the most important thing is recognizing the fact that we have incredible people that are on the front line and they need your support. And please take this seriously. Also, I want to just share that give an example. Yesterday, somebody from public assistance came to me and said, I am concerned. I was given a mask, but as far as a sneeze guard, she sent me a photo. She basically said, this is so flimsy, literally the first person that comes in who touches it or sneezes on it will fall apart. So it doesn't protect her desk at all, and she is concerned for her safety as well as the fact that she does care for elders in her household. So that's what I'm trying to stress. There needs to be consistent safety measures in place for all employees, and that's what I'd like to see. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to ask. I thank you for your time very much.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one to join the queue. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Again, to ask a question today, please press the star and one, and we can pause a moment to allow any questions to queue.
And Jake, if there's not any other questions, you can introduce the other members on the line.
Sure. Barry, are you on the line? And Barry is a juvenile justice officer at McLaughlin Youth Center.
Hello. Good afternoon, everybody. Representative Jackson, Senator Mikowski, Representative Kopp, who's my neighbor. I'm here at Dallas Bay. And Senator Sullivan, thank you for time and thank you for listening. I am Barry Abiyabin. I'm a state employee since May of 2007. I'm a juvenile justice officer, and I work at McLaughlin Youth Center. I'm asking Senator Murkowski, Senator Sullivan, to please hear our call for help. Please support all aid package for our state and local government. Please be that voice and make sure that your colleagues hear us, and that making sure that, you know, they know that we are still here, serving, putting our life in line in order to fulfill our state's needs. For us, this is not just a job, but a calling to serve the people of Alaska, and we're doing it 24/7, 365 days. This is who we are, and this is who I am. I am one voice of many that continue to work since the pandemic started. There's three things that I want to bring up, and it's always brought up by my colleagues from different locations across the state, from McLaughlin, from Kenai, from Bethel, from Juneau. One of that is testing for all essential employees. If we are called essential employees, all of us should be tested, and not just a few. Whoever wants to be tested should be allowed to be tested. Second thing, if we're considered essential, please take care of our health too. We've been asking for help that somebody who's been doing screening at our work, at the beginning of our work, beginning of our shifts, that, you know, make sure it's somebody who's professional, any kind of license, besides one of us that's been assigned to screen each one of us. We need somebody that really care and know what they're doing so we can do our job duties. The third one was brought up numerous times since it's called the CARES Act. It was from the governor's, was passed on March 27 and was released on June 3rd. Supposed to be, it's a care package that for those who are sick, for those who are involved on coronavirus, that's what's able to touch their retirement. This is kind of unfair that you need to be sick and dying to be able to touch your own money that you put up. This should be open to every essential worker, state employee, that day and night are still continuing to show up for their work. So that's, you know, the three things that I want to highlight. Like I said, it's being brought up by my other colleagues from different locations in the state. Test us, all essential employees, everyone should be tested that wants to be tested. Give us the support of sending somebody that will screen us so that we are ready to perform our job duties on all shifts, since we are a 24/7 facilities that are always open. if you, you know, you truly care about, you know, supporting us, please let us access our money. We don't have to wait till we're dying or sick to touch our own money. If it's truly a CARES Act, show it. And the only thing I can say is that please hear us. As I take care of the needs of our great state of Alaska, please take care of me. Please take care of us. Senator Sullivan, Senator Murkowski, and those who's on the local government, support everything and anything that will support us, essential workers. Again, I thank you for your time, and I thank you for what you do. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. Next, we're going to hear from Joey Tilson, who's an eligibility technician in Ketchikan. Joey?
Thank you, Jake, and thank you to all members of our legislative cabinet there for attending this. I am a public assistance caseworker in Ketchikan, and we do statewide work for people that are applying for Medicaid, food stamps, senior benefits, public assistance, cash programs. And basically what I have witnessed firsthand here just in Ketchikan alone is that people have blatantly ignored mandates. And we recently had a case which has hit the news of an individual that was told to quarantine until his test results came back for his COVID-19 traveling out of state, and he and other family members chose not to do that, and they went to several different parties and social events this weekend, which, you know, of course, we're supposed to limit the social events to 10 or less, at least the last mandate I understood, and they didn't, and they potentially have exposed hundreds of Ketchikan community members to the COVID. They went to the rec center and other locations. And so what that does is that many have traveled over to Prince of Wales Island, where a number of our elders and our largest veteran population reside, which don't have the capabilities of good quality health care, not even in Southeast Alaska. It's fine for acute care, but not for to deal with this COVID-19 epidemic that we're having. And so what that does is that, of course, you know, one apple that's rotten will spoil the barrel. And our medical providers have put the warning out to many community members to be prepared for hundreds. So as a caseworker, people have not been able to work. They have applied for assistance from Medicaid. They have applied for food stamps. They have applied for cash programs, you know, single parents needing temporary assistance, even, you know, two-parent households needing assistance. The local VFW here is closed permanently because they were not able to meet the demands of their monthly obligations because they couldn't work their employees for the bingo hall. We weren't able to have the 25% attendance, so they weren't able to do that. Their bingo employees, they weren't eligible to apply for the CARES Act small business loan, payroll loans, because the employees made more on unemployment than they could make coming back to work, and we couldn't have the bingo people. Anyway, with that being said, it has been very difficult for us as caseworkers. We did receive some handmade masks from our director, but we're not able to, you know, see clients face-to-face anyway. But even then, so we are exposed to the clients. They come up to us in the grocery store wanting to know what's going on with the case, things like that. And, of course, you know, I wear a mask going to the store. But as Kelly was saying about the education regarding the personal protective wear, consistent testing, hazardous pay, all of that stuff plays a big part. And then the one concern I have is consistent mandatory mandatory mandate for travel, because what it's doing in these small communities, even rural areas, are not able to get to the quality health care they need when they're being exposed to the COVID, and they're not able to get jobs, they're not able to do any of that, and we're already, you know, slim pickings on jobs here. So as it stands right now, all of our frontline workers are in a high stress environment and a dangerously stressful situation, especially being stuck on a rock here in Ketchikan or in POW. So the point that I'm making is that we need the help now. We due to our recent exposure in our community by these individuals who've ignored mandates, we have to prepare for catastrophic numbers in the upcoming days ahead. And ignoring the mandates, they're going to cost communities their health, their life. It's going to cost the workers. And if we're not able to get the help to the people, you know, it's going to be horrific. So thank you very much for your time. And I look forward to hearing from anybody if they have any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Joey. Next, we're going to hear from Representative Chuck Cox.
Okay, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yes, sir. Yep. Okay, all right, thank you. Well, thank you, Jake, and ASEA for hosting this event. You know, this, we really have an exciting opportunity to get some legislation drafted that is better written than what we saw, you know, in the CARES Act. And so, first, you know, I really do want to commend our congressional delegation who worked very well with the entire congressional body in the, to get the CARES Act out to America, out to the states and local communities. Now, we all know that there were challenges with that, and I specifically would like to see the Senate include language that empowers legislatures to appropriate these funds instead of adding that additional strain on just the executive branches of states. So we see that every state is struggling to just to generate the capacity to handle the programs for delivering these funds to the governments, local governments. That's what we're talking about today, that need that, and there were problems with eligibility, definitions, defining those more clearly, and a number of things that were highlighted as challenges in that first act. So I do believe that this HEROES Act will allow us to better address these exact concerns that ASEA has convened talking about right now, that will offset burdens that local governments have that otherwise are transferred directly to the local taxpayers. We simply have our frontline employees still doing their jobs around the clock. I enjoyed hearing the employee from the Pioneer Home. You know, my mom is in the Pioneer Home. That's I appreciate our state workers that take care of our parents and grandparents. The adult probation officer who lives just down the street from my house. And I'm out here in the community right now in Bristol Bay. It hosts the largest commercial, salmon industry in the world. And let me just tell you some of the things that our state, local, and tribal employees are doing to make this fishing industry happen. They're currently rebuilding all three bridges, the DOT, the state DOT employees are, of the furthest west highway in America, the Alaska Peninsula Highway, just so that the hundreds of millions of pounds of salmon can get moved from the processors and loaded on the container ships. It is local government employees that are running the cranes and the massive forklifts that both offload and unload these huge container ships when they come in. Every container is 50,000 pounds of frozen salmon. That salmon goes to locations, domestic and international, all over the world. These are local government employees that are taking care of getting the ships in, getting them loaded, getting them out, rebuilding the roads. We have state and tribal healthcare workers working side by side to do the COVID testing of every single processor, seafood worker, fisherman out here in this. I was out here for one day, already had my COVID test. Got the results back the very next day. They are making it happen. And all of this is done in a spirit of, you know, of keeping the our state and our country's economic engine moving forward and working cooperatively with industry and with the public to make sure that, you know, we can still prosper at a very difficult time. So I just want to give a big shout out to our state and local government employees who, you know, have not slowed down, have been, you know, some of you have mentioned, you know, that the double time that they're working to make this all happen. And I do think that with the, you know, with the Heroes Act, there are some, it's a critical piece of legislation that we have an opportunity to correct some of the drafting errors that occurred in the CARES Act and better address the needs of local government and also have some provisions in there that address hazard pay and other things that our employees will be able to benefit from. They are certainly in high-risk situations. And, you know, I've often commented on what our police, firefighters, and EMTs do, but I think now we see today we literally have hundreds of groups of employees that are very much on the front line that are making sure our state is running during a very difficult time. And I can't thank ASEA enough for, you know, what they do to represent the employees, and also we're just looking at this as an opportunity to address some of the shortfalls in the bill drafting of the CARES Act and get make it so that the appropriation process not only is done in a way that better facilitates the work of local governments, but also addresses definitions of eligibility better and clearly lays out that state legislatures are part of the appropriation process. And the reason why that is so critical is just the capacity of representation when you put together these large funding packages. And if that all falls just on the executive branch, the communities across the various states are not, you don't get the local knowledge, the local government information, kind of the local how-to and what is needed, unless you do go through the normal appropriation process of state legislature. So I know there's we're not alone. Every state has some tension trying to figure this out, but that's one of the things that would make the Heroes Act much better, is just using the legislative process, which deals with appropriation like they would any other constitutionally provided appropriation process. So thanks, Jake. And I just want to say a big thank you to all our public employees who I think are doing an amazing job keeping our state moving forward at a very tough time, which has already been outlined by many people. Thank you all.
Thank you, Representative Kopp. We appreciate your time. Is Senator Kelby Gray Jackson on the line?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me? Okay, excellent.
I can hear you. Thank you, and go ahead, Senator.
All right, thank you. Well, first I want to thank ASEA and tell you how grateful I am for this opportunity to join this press conference. And I also want to thank everyone for calling in and listening today, and a special thank you to the employees who spoke today. I want to thank not only you employees, but every single state and municipal employee for the service that you provide to our community, and in particular during this turbulent time and as we continue to fight this disease. Public employees, they've always been near and dear to my heart because they provide the services for our constituents and the services that we all use every single day. And you all are a testament to just how great our frontline professionals are. Bear with me a minute. Over the last few years, our essential service workers have been stretched thin due to less resources and while still meeting the growing maintenance demands of our vast state. COVID has introduced yet another challenge over these past few months, but it's a challenge that we will overcome. In order to keep Alaska safe, we need to ensure the safety of the essential workers who are on the front lines every single day, keeping the rest of us safe. They must have the resources they need, including PPE, training, and access to testing in order to continue providing critical services during this crisis, and as we cautiously move toward reopening. I stand with ASEA and calling on our congressional delegation to explore every single avenue possible to secure the resources our state and municipalities need to fight the health and economic effects of this disease so that we can recover stronger than ever before. As a matter of fact, I drafted a letter to Senators Murkowski and Sullivan on this issue, and I'm hopeful that the majority of the legislation will add their signatures. And I'd like to end my comments with encouraging everyone to stay safe. COVID is alive and well, and unfortunately, some folks in our community have a false sense of security. So I'm encouraging everybody, please wear your mask and practice social distancing. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Jackson. Ryland, that's the speakers that we have today. So I thought I would hand it over to you for any questions the guests may have. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. And we will take a question from Liz Ruskin. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. My question is, are there specific provisions in this HEROES Act that ensure essential public workers will get the PPE, hazard pay and testing, or is it just a matter of making sure that Alaska gets more money so that there's more money available for state workers?
So I'll take a stab at that. This is Chuck Koff. Thank you for the question. The HEROES Act, of course, it is a follow-up to the CARES Act. So there is definitely money appropriated for PPE. As far as, you know, how that breaks down, I think this is like a $3 trillion relief package. I don't know. It does, it is focused on funding local government revenue shortfalls and taking care of our essential workers, including nurses, EMTs, and others required to work during the pandemic. That addresses their hazard pay situation. But I think specifically with PPE, yes. Yeah, that is the intent. I have not read through the entire act yet, but I definitely know that PPE funding is part of it.
This is Senator Gray Jackson. I have a really quick comment to add. Unlike the CARES Act, the restrictions on the HEROES Act are going to be loosened up a bit. At least that's what I'm hearing, and it really should happen because there's a lot of issues within our communities that needed to be dealt with that could not be dealt with because of the restrictions on the CARES Act. So I'm hopeful. Thank you.
This is Jake Metcalf. The part of the HEROES Act would, of course, provide funding for state and local governments. And one of the concerns is that there's been 1.4 million state and local government employees laid off as a result of the revenue shortages. This would ensure that we have essential employees available to provide the services that we need, and it will also, you know, provide them with the equipment they need to provide those services. So
It's just essential for essential employees that we have the funding to continue the services. Thank you.
And it appears that we do not have any further questions at this time.
This is Jake Metcalf again. I want to thank everybody for participating. I just want to thank the members especially for taking the time and to tell their stories. And for our legislators, we very much appreciate your time. And the press, thank you for participating. And we appreciate your attention to this really important issue. If you have any questions, feel free to contact me. My contact information was on the press release that went out, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you very much.